tuned in to the Behind the Scenes podcast with your host, Man Robinson, the place where educational, motivational, and inspiration collide with innovation. Be entertained while learning from some of the best actors, directors, and producers in the industry today with self-help tips that you can apply in your career. We don't just talk about it, we be about it.
So, welcome back to Behind the Scenes podcast with your host, Man Robinson. Man, I mean, this one is special to me because it's a friend of mine, partner, business partner, and like I told y'all before, it's a strong female in the gizang. So, she got a lot of stuff going on, and she's actually a businesswoman first. I think she, like me, she a business first and everything else after that. That's what she could tell you herself, but the amazing, phenomenal, funny, hardworking, thugged out Tori Hart. What up, dog?
What's up?
How you doing?
You know, I'm all right, I guess, considering what's happening.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, I'm from Michigan, and I hear Michigan got the highest whatever. But, you know.
The highest what?
It's the highest people that's getting it right now, infection.
In Michigan? I thought it was New York and Jersey.
Nah, man. Michigan tripping right now. It's tripping. So, you know.
Wow, I thought it was New York and Jersey. Shit.
I think Jersey, New York got the highest death, but infection rate, Michigan is up there. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's depressing. You know, we are the same. This proves that we are the same. We sound dumb talking about white, black, shiny, that. That don't matter. Right. You know, don't matter. But what we've been doing on this podcast is basically touching on that slightly and, you know, telling everybody how we able still to do what we do, even though we're quarantined. We can't even be around each other right now, you know. And this right here is proof. I'm 2,000 miles away from you right now.
Right. Still, and you in the studio.
Yeah, we're here getting it in, you know what I mean? So God bless us with that ability to be able to do that. So enough about this. We're going to talk about you for a minute. So
okay,
you got a production company.
I do. Tori Hart Productions. And, you know, a project that we did together is under Tori Hart Productions.
Yeah.
Also, another film that I produce, which is currently on, sorry, y'all, I had to get this back in here, but another film that I currently produce, which I think you were on with him earlier, the director.
Yeah, I was on, he came on, I forget what episode that we named it, but Van Elder, yeah.
Right.
But right. I didn't know you produced it though, so that's news for me. That's dope. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not at the level how me and you were, of course, right, you right, know, just right. bringing stuff together. I'm a part of that process. And then trying to think my comedy tour, Time to Tell My Side. And then I have a Skinny Bitch Keto recipe book, which is out now. And it's just about recipes and the keto lifestyle, you know, that. And then a lot of other up and coming stuff that I'm working on currently, like the coronavirus comedy tour, which is a platform that was created while we've been in quarantine. And, you know, that's coming out Friday. And it's a platform for comedians and for people to go watch good comedy. Also to make, you know, for the comedians to make a few dollars too while they're shut down, because since we can't get out and entertain, got to figure out another way.
Yeah. So, and that's what this is all about. But one thing I noticed real quick is that you are like, you remember Luke Skywalker, Luther Campbell, remember him? Two Live Crew. So he was very successful, not only because of the music, but the titles that he decided to name the songs. And I just noticed all the projects that you said you got real dope names. Skinny Bitch Keto. I mean, that's dope. Then
Skinny
you had
Bitch,
Then what was the other one? The comedy tour, you know, marketing.
Coronavirus comedy tour. And it's, and the name itself, I mean, it's a little, you know.
It's what it is.
Right. But it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's bringing laughing and light and, you know, to people that's going through stuff right now. Yeah. So,
you know, comedy has always been that go to. You know, it's always something happened real bad, and you always get a good laugh in. So I understand where you're going with that, and I know the world will appreciate it. You know,
but that
wasn't it. I remember you had your drink company, then you had a hair product.
Skimpy mixers.
Yeah, you just don't play around. A lot of people don't know that. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are knowing that in the last however long, but you are way more powerful than what's perceived. You are that deal. And I was at your comedy tour. I went to one of the stops. And
you came out and supported twice, actually.
Yeah, but the last one was the one I was waiting for. My side of the story, that's what everybody waiting on. See what I'm saying?
Time to tell my side. I know, but it's so crazy because now I'm just, as a Pisces, I be getting into modes where I'm like, you know what? I'm over this shit. On to the next. I don't know. I'm always conflicted. But I'm learning, to like, because my brain is always going. And it's always like, okay, Tori, this right here. It's always something. It's like, do this. But I'm learning to sit still and finish stuff out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you say that, what I seen was finished. Everything I seen was finished. And it was all dope. I remember the first time I met you, I remember the first time I met you at your house. You know, your introduction was, what it was, pretty funny. But, we don't have to talk about that. We don't have to.
Hey, listen, it's okay. It's fine. I don't care.
No, we ain't going to talk about that.
Damn.
Only reason I was so calm, because I've done it plenty of times. That's just how I was cut, bro. Whatever. Right. Yeah. So, but at that same day at your house, I seen a bunch of pictures of you. Well, a couple pictures of you and Michelle Obama. Not everybody get a chance to meet somebody like that. And, you get auras of people when you're around them. And you give me that type of authoric, power, intelligent vibe. You always have. So how was that, though, meeting her?
Wow. It was amazing. And I was just as shocked. I was like, Michelle Obama want me at a dinner with 20 other, influential women? I was like, okay, whatever. I'm thinking to myself, she clearly does not know, but when I got there, I realized, she just basically was saying that she is a fan of reality TV. I was on a reality show in Atlanta, and she said she liked how I portrayed myself on the show, and she saw something in me, and she was just saying, I can't talk politics all day long. She's like, I have to have an outlet. And she was like, and that outlet is reality TV sometimes. And so she said, and you were very entertaining on there. And, so that's how I got the opportunity to meet her. So for people who say reality TV is so this and that, it's like, oh, okay, well, whatever. I got to meet Michelle Obama, launch a product, got another gig from doing that, launched another career from that. So I was like, well, I mean, maybe for y'all, but for me, I actually like reality TV.
Yeah, so. I do too. But I think that was a personal thing. Some people are on reality TV and they just faking the funk. At my studio, actually, in 2019, I'm not going to say their names, but it was a bunch of cast members on a reality show that's hot in Atlanta. And they were all in my writer's room writing their next episodes, coming up with storylines right in front of me.
And I'm because it's produced.
Yeah.
It's heavily produced.
Yeah. And they talking to the other, the girl and the dude, and they how can me and you act like we dating? Okay. That's what it really is. But
well, not all of it. Not all of it. But I mean, the people have to understand it's entertainment. If we come on there all sitting down praying, talking about Kumbaya, my Lord, nobody's going to watch that. People want to, they watch certain things to get, certain types of entertainment. We don't watch Love and Hip Hop to, get the scripture. Okay. We don't watch it to hear people praying. We watch it because it's ratchet and there's some fun and drama that's going to come with it. Yeah, so
they're doing something right. They've been on for 16 years. So evidently they're doing something right. And it's catapulted to reality TV to be what it is. But now let's talk about the other side, though. So, of course, today's topic is strong Black women in the industry and leading in the industry. And you are definitely a power figure, in the game, having your own production company. And let's not sugarcoat nothing. I mean, you were married to Kevin Hart for years. Mm-hmm. You were there in college with him. You, everything. You from day one. And he is, like you said in your tour, you can't do nothing without hearing this nigga name. That was a funny part.
I just heard it.
That was funny. But
I just heard it. I just did an interview before you. And I was like, listen, I'm not talking about him straight up. Like, I don't feel like doing that. Because it's just like, it's at a point where I'm just like, it is what it is. That's my baby daddy. You know, it's my kid's father, my ex-husband. Cool. We know that, you know, but I'm just over it. You know, I'm over it.
Yeah. You are over it. You've been telling me that. But my point is that you are your own person, your own individual, and you are making a way in the industry. So right now, you know, we pitch movies all the time. I write a script and I send it off to BET and other places, and they always come back. You know, we want if it's not a black woman movie, we want it at least to be one of the characters be a strong black woman. That's always what it is. So how you feel about that?
You know, that's what's in right now. You know, that's what's running the industry. I mean, black women are taking over from producing to directing. I mean, look at all the black women directors that are taking over the game, you know, to executives, to agents, to managers. Like, they're knocking down doors. Yeah. So, of course, you know, that's what needs to be seen.
Yeah. And when you think about it, like, that's the audience anyway. Like, that's the audience and the actual talent. So that is one of the things when we did Turn, you know. So when I met you, and I told this story, I forgot who I told it to. But when I met you, you said, I said, so there's a role we're working on right now. And it's a music exec. And you said, man, I'm not trying to be no sugarcoater, bro. I need to be who I am. Even on film, and my character got to be Raw Dog.
Right.
And we created Rita Robinson based off of that and the way that you did it. So how did you get into that? How does that work for you, that role, Rita Robinson? Can you tell the people about that?
Well, you know, low key, that's who I am. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you know, I'm all, like, I have, it's crazy because I have so many music connections that I don't use. Actually, up until recently, though, I will say I've been like working with artists and consulting and using my resources with which is another thing people don't really know, but they'll see later down the line because I'm keeping that hush hush. But just tapping into everything that I have, all the resources that I have around me. And you know, I've always been intrigued by the music industry. So for me to be able to play a big time CEO, boss lady, you know, that's like, oh, this is who I think I am anyway. You know, so I can definitely play that role. And then, you know, to kill somebody, you know, I was in the Army. I'm a vet. So I've always been fascinated with guns and weapons and G.I. Jane, like that kind of stuff, jumping out of airplanes. You know, I've done that, bungee jump. So I'm always interested in action and adventure. And then there's a sexy side to me, too, which I get to be sexy. I use my sex appeal. So, you know, I just felt like, wow, that's just me. She was just me. So why not just do it?
Yeah, and you're right. Every element of that was reached, the sexy, the thug. And you don't like me calling you thug, but you thugged out, man. That's just the way it is.
I know, but I didn't know. I'm thugged out.
Yeah, you thugged out, man. And the brains, the thugness, everything. So a lot of people have seen the movie now, so we can say she killed Benzino in the movie, man. She let him have it. It is what it is. And it was so real. It's everybody's favorite part of the film. And just how everybody worked together, it was just dope. And that sparked.
Wow, that was their favorite part.
Man, you ain't here? Oh my goodness! I'm getting so many.
Maybe because I'm on the West Coast, I don't be hearing this.
It's a write up out there. I think I sent it to you. It's a write up. A black woman wrote the write up, and she was like so happy that it was a powerful black woman. Same thing you just said. All the elements: the sexy, the powerful, all that.
Okay.
Yeah, and that scene and her to stand up to a man, you know, kill him. Whatever was dope.
I know it's so bad when you like to kill him.
I know.
Yeah, I had to murder.
Yeah, and then she say, "Well, man, why you call me thugged out? Because you like guns and shit. That's why." From Philly,
but you know, any actress, I don't know. I guess it just seems like it's like you have to play every type of role. I mean, I played, you know, the mom. I played a judge. I played a cop. I've played a detective. I've played a prostitute. You know, I played the homegirl. Like, I mean, you got to, you know, play every role. So
I agree. Speaking of that, I'm perfectly single. I actually seen it at a screening in Atlanta a few months ago. And I'm so used to seeing you as Rita and as a friend, which is, like you said, very close anyway. So to see you in that role was, you not that nasty, you not that mean. So it was like, okay, she really acting here. You know what I'm saying? How you were with, I forget, Cuba. Not Cuba.
Omar Gooding.
Omar Gooding. He did a great job too, by the way. He killed that.
Yeah.
So he held his own playing your counterpart. But that character, though, the way you tapped into that is like, okay, so that's not really her, but it was dope. So listen, this podcast, there's a lot of people listening, like, you know, they want to either be an actor or a writer or a director like myself. So sometimes we want to give tips. What do you say to somebody that's like, it's easy. It's not even really easy to do a role that you are like. It's still working that, but it's a lot more work to do.
It has to be natural.
Yeah. So how do you?
I would just have to say because I don't audition well. See, what I've learned about myself, I don't audition well. But if you give me the role, or if somebody's like, okay, we have this, we're thinking about you, I'm going to kill it. But when I go into auditions, for some reason, it's totally different. Just like some people audition well, but then when you get them on set, it's like, wait a minute, they gave this motherfucker the part? So you just have to know who you are as an artist too, which is why I like to create a lot of things for myself, because a lot of people don't really, they think they have this one perception of me, but they have no idea who I really am. So I'm kind of like this mysterious person anyway, unless you really get to know me, which a lot of people, they don't really get to know people, or, you know, when they say audition, and it's like, if you go and audition for something just in that moment, you never know, like, what could be going on. So I would say as an artist, if you know what you are, like, some artists are strictly just talent. If you know you just talent, you got to go in there and body those auditions. But if you're somebody like me, who I'm like, yeah, I can produce, I can create, I can do my own thing. So I'm kind of low key, like, looking at these directors, these casting directors, like, I shouldn't even be doing this for you, but I'm gonna do it, you know. And it's a little cocky, but, you know, it's just, I know who I am. I know I'm not supposed to just be going and auditioning for people, because I can do other things too on top of that. So for the aspiring actors and actresses, find your lane in that too, you know. And if you can't come up with your original content, like I had Pretty Funny Fish, which was a sketch group that I had, which we created on our own and got our deal from Russell Simmons from that, and then went on to, you know, make a lot of money off of, we kind of pioneered like a lot of the YouTube stuff we see now. So, you know, but that came from people weren't giving me an opportunity. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to create my own. And then once I got in that lane of creating my own opportunity and being able to use my resources, and even like with you and saying I'd like to come on board and produce, then, you know, that's kind of what it becomes. So I think find your niche, find your lane, and then don't be scared to thrive in it. Because it is sometimes where I'm like, you know, I'm tired of producing, I'm tired of feeling like I gotta create. But every time I do, it's more reward with that. It's more work, of course. Sometimes I would love to just be the talent and show up and that's it. But even with my comedy tour, I mean, I put that together. I was actually, you know, reaching out to different comedy clubs and saying, this is what I'd like to do, and let's work a deal. You know, I had an agent, but I was using my own name to go out and make things happen. And sometimes people don't know you have to just make things happen on your own. So make it happen. And so that's another thing too. Like, so when I hear people say, oh, she's using the name, and it's like, using the name for what? Like, I have to do the work. If I'm not doing the work, what good is a name, you know? So just do the work.
Yeah, that's nonsense. I think that I totally understand the name situation. You all the kids, you got the same name. That's just that. Done deal. Nothing else to talk about.
Because even if I change it, they're just still going to say, oh, she changed the name, but she should have just left it hard. It's, yeah. You know, it's
I mean, Tina Turner did it. Tina Turner,
right?
A bunch of them. So,
right. Right.
So we're about to take a quick break because, you know, I have this thing called random thought. You know, I'm kind of crazy. So every once in a while, I just think of something and I just say it. So I'm about to go to that. But when we get back, if you can, we want to talk about the difference between comedy, like stand-up comedy, which is very hard, opposed to stage acting or even set acting. So we'll be right back right after this.
And now it's time for Man Robinson's Random Thought of the Day.
So today's random thought has nothing to do with film. It's Michael Jordan. His documentary was dope. 10 episodes showed everything. But you got haters coming in. Well, I ain't gonna call them haters. You got people like Horace Grant coming in, some other sidebar niggas coming in, even Scottie Pippen coming in, and all these other folk coming in saying that they're livid because of his documentary. Nigga, is his documentary. Nigga, do your own documentary and you won't have that situation. Do the Scottie Pippen documentary, which Scottie's actually my boy, though, honestly. I like Scottie Pippen. Horace Grant, whatever. Horace Grant, do the Horace Grant documentary. You know what I mean? I don't understand why so many people hate no Michael Jordan, man. He was great then and he's great now. All he did was tell the truth. There's one part about that pizza, though. That pizza situation, I don't know about that. But this is Man's Random Thought. Hope y'all was entertained by it. Tell me what you think. You can message us on here or you can hit me up on Instagram at Man Robinson. Boom. At Man Robinson. That's it. Two N's. Man Robinson. Tell me what you think about my random thought. In other words, leave Michael Jordan the hell alone. He was great then. He hate now. I say he great now. He was great then. He great now. If you got a situation or problem with him, do your own damn documentary. Man Robinson. Now back to Tori Hart. More peaceful situation.
Welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. We don't just talk about it. We be about it.
Okay, welcome back to Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm your host, Man Robinson. We got the red cup girl there sitting out chilling. Tori Hart thugged out to the fullest duck bullets. You understand?
Just got finished cooking dinner for the kids. I'm having a little cocktail now. They straight.
Yep. Everybody good then, right? Quarantine. Yeah. For real. That's how it is right now. Hey, man. I'm getting a lot of shit done, though. Honestly, I don't even want to talk about it because it sounds selfish. You know, I'm just going to leave that alone. But we got some questions for you, if you can help us out.
I've been sleeping my ass off.
I mean, you couldn't have been sleeping too much because you told me you got a brand new tour. You got the brand new everything going on.
That was the first week. That was the first week. I was like, okay, I gotta figure something out. And, you know, but honestly, man, I don't sleep. So being able to sleep, and I gave myself a pass. I said, because I'm always on myself so hard, like, no, you gotta be work. And I said, no, I think this is actually, God is trying to tell us just relax. Just relax. At least he's telling me that. So I'm kind of on some, I don't feel like working. I'm going to do what I need to do for this platform and for what I already have established. But if something come to me, cool. But if not, man, I'm sleeping.
I mean, to be honest with you, you got a great point because this proves that money don't mean a damn thing. It ain't nothing. This is all about surviving and living, you know?
Right.
And so I agree with you. Plus, you got things established. But, you know, I just had a random thought again. Like, when we were filming Turnt, and we, you know, Jamal Woolard is in it as well. Mm-hmm. You know, a rumor kicked out that y'all was dating. Is that true?
No.
That's not true?
We're just friends. We were just friends.
Okay, I ain't know. I mean, I was there too, but I didn't know. I'm not nosy. I don't know.
No, we were just friends. We were just like, you know, of course, in the film, we were very close. I had a love scene with him in the film.
Yeah.
But no, we were just friends and we were hanging out a lot. And, you know, it looked good for the project or whatever. But no, we were just friends.
Just friends. Okay. Well,
yes, friends.
That's cool. And y'all did a great job together, especially that scene that you're talking about was fun to edit. I'm not gonna lie, it was fun to edit. So So let's it was. So and you know what? He's funny too. Like Jamal Woodard is actually a pretty funny dude. He just doesn't show it.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
We even talked about comedy and stuff, but I was like, I said, I can help you, but if you're not serious, no, because this journey, the comedy journey is the hardest journey there is it comes to entertainment. So if you're not serious, then I'm not wasting my time.
Well, so now I'm glad you said that, because that segues me easily into, can you tell the audience the difference between stand-up, how hard it is? Because a lot of people don't know how hard it is, opposed to being on set and being an actress.
Well, stand-up, there is no cut. So if you're on stage and one of your jokes don't land, yeah, you're just like, oh, shit, okay. That was supposed to be funny. That was funny when I tried it at home and tried it on this person and that person, but this audience isn't receiving it. So you have to keep your cool. You know, you really got to be, because there's been moments where I've never been booed or anything like that, but I've had moments where certain jokes hit super hard somewhere else, and then I go somewhere else and these jokes ain't hitting at all, and I'm like, wait a minute, okay, so I gotta bring this back, I gotta figure some shit out. So not only do you have to be good at improv, you have to be good at stage presence, you gotta be good at commanding the audience, you gotta be good at thinking quick on your feet, you know, fill in the room when you first step out there. You know, you got to look around. You're always, if somebody drops a glass, you got to be ready to address that right then. You don't just act like it didn't happen. You got to make a joke out of that. You always just have to be quick on your feet. So, you know, with acting, you can fuck up because they're going to say cut and we could redo it. You could do it take after take after take. But with stand up, no, you got one shot to get it right. So even stepping out there on stage, I remember my biggest show that I did to date was with Cat Williams. I opened up for Cat at the Microsoft Theater in downtown LA, and it was like 12,000 people. And, you know, for me, it was just like, okay, I got one shot to go out here and kill this shit. And Cat told me, if I ain't funny, when I get off stage, he gonna come and he gonna talk shit. So, you know, so that's pressure right there. He's like, you gonna make these 12,000 people laugh, T? Da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, all right. So in my mind, I'm like, okay. And I can't let him see me sweat, you know, because I'm thugged out, as you say.
Yes,
so
you
I'm like, man, I'm about to go murder this shit. I'm gonna warm it up for you. I'm gonna get them ready for you. Shit. So, you know, I went out there, though, with that confidence. And you have to have that confidence. It's a confidence that, you know, a lot of people don't have. And even sometimes when you're out there, it's still even hard because, like I said, if something doesn't work, it can play on you. So it's just, it's tough, but if you love it and you get a high off of it, which you get a high off making people laugh, and then once something works, it's like, oh, I got to keep trying this again and again and again and building on it. So it's dope, but it's very tough. But it's dope when you start to see the rewards from it.
Yeah, but I know comedians have been in the game personally for 20 years, 15 years, and they still going at it. They're still going at it. And not everybody popped like Kevin did. Not everybody popped like Cat and all the other ones,
right?
And they just keep going, well, because, and going on,
because it's you gotta have something else too, and that's why you have to love it, because everybody's not gonna pop. But if you, there's people at levels that are making $1 million a year that people don't know, or there's comedians that make like $500,000 a year, 250, you know, but they're not famous, but they're hitting, they're hitting the road, and they're hitting these road gigs, you know, and they're on the road a lot. So, you know, those people are making buku bucks, and they're making a living off of what they love. Now, they may not be famous, but they're still doing what they love, and they're making a living from it. That's why you have to love it, and you got to be ready for that journey, because if you're not somebody who wants to be on the road all the time, then comedy is not for you, because you have to hit the road in order to blow like that. You have to. And stand up, doing sketches online, that's not stand up. And that's another thing people have to understand. It sketches does not make you a stand up comedian. They just make you a funny person. Does not make you a stand up comedian.
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't know a lot about comedy except for I love it, and I have a lot of comedic friends. and I watch people on stage. I even watch you, you know, when you were on stage, I wasn't there just to support. I was watching you and you commanded the stage, man. You were very sharp. I think somebody heckled and you went right at him. It was, yeah. So you were dope. So if you had a choice in your final, I know you, I know the answer to this, but I'm gonna ask you anyway.
Okay.
To pick acting or stand up. Which one would you pick?
Acting.
You picked the acting. I was wrong.
Because that's where I started. See, a lot of people don't understand that either. That's where I started. I've been acting since I was yay big. And I love it. I love being on set. I love, you know, being able to go back in and create these different characters, because there's a lot of characters that live inside my head anyway. So I get to get this character off. Like, even when I'm going through stuff in life, it's so crazy. God will give me a role where I can use that and get it off my chest, and then boom, I'm done. So I definitely love acting. I love it.
I do too.
And another thing, I don't use my acting outside of my craft. Like, I know some people, some actresses and actors, they actually act for a living and not for like their job. So in real life, I'm not going to be out here doing certain things to get a job. Like, it is what it is. If you don't like me like this, then cool. But I'm not going to act outside of my craft. When you say lights, camera, action, boom, that's when I start acting. Other than that, no, I'm not going to be acting a certain way with people acting fake, acting phony or whatever. Like, I just can't do that.
Well, I wouldn't expect anything less from you, man. I already know you 100 all the way around.
Yeah.
So yay big means you were young. If so, our audience don't understand yay big, long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So y'all talking about, so is it safe to say that you started doing stand-up around the same time as Kevin, or did y'all do it together?
No, actually, we met in a theater arts class when we were, I was 20, he was 19, at community college. So that's how we met, theater arts, and then we just hit it off from there because we was always pranksters and jokesters. But I was always in the comedy clubs before I even met him. Not even supposed to be in the comedy clubs, but I always loved comedy. So I was always in the clubs, always around it. And so it only made sense that God would bring us together. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, he started doing stand up and I was there for the first show. And then after that, like almost every show, and just, I started studying it, not even realizing that that's what I was doing. I was studying. So then after I started studying, I was like, oh, you know, I love this so much, because I got class clown in high school. So I was always a funny person, always doing, you know, stuff like that. And so once I started being around it more often, I was just like, okay, I love this. Like, this is something that I want to do too. And it'll only help me with my acting. It'll make me stronger. And I've been studying it for so long and watching that, boom, I know the formula.
Yeah, so. Well, you passed the test, because you are definitely funny, and you, like, even in, like, the movie I just told you about, the, what's the name of that? Perfectly Single?
Perfectly Single, yeah.
Yeah, even in that one, that your comedic timing was on point, and I just told Elder that when I spoke with him. So since the title in the actual topic of this show is strong Black women, or women, period, I shouldn't just say Black women, in the film industry, we have part two to our movie coming out. We're in development, and it's called Super Turn. Cause if you could think about turning turn up, you could only get super at that point.
Right.
So
right.
With that being said, with all the references and all the hoopla we got about the Rita Robinson character, she is, she's super turn. Just put it that way. And
I can't wait to read this first draft, cause I'm so excited about her being super turnt. Like, we gotta be super turnt. Yeah. Especially since people out here bootlegging the movie.
Yeah, I know, man. It's kind of crazy. I ain't gonna people say cool, DVD though. Players. It's cool, right? Because I know it ain't gonna make a huge dent, because not a lot of people have them. So it's kind of a compliment that they put the bootlegging turnt. Right. All that shit we went through, the work to shoot that thing, and traveling here, traveling there, and it's just a blessing that somebody wanted it. That bad.
Right.
that they still.
And the platform that the major platform it's on now is Roku, right?
No, Prime, Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
And it's on Apple TV too. People, I just don't put it out there, but it's on Apple TV as well.
Okay.
But Superturn, of course, is going in a different direction. And we got to thank God for the staple that we have for Turn Part One, because without that, we wouldn't be able to do what we're about to do now. So, so to anything else, what else you got going on besides Superturn? And, you know, tell us a little bit about it. Like, what do you got coming up?
Oh, well, so, I mean, I have my recipe book out now, which is Skinny Bish Keto. So, you know, guys, go to my page, click the link in my bio, get that. Like, it's amazing keto recipes. Like, if anybody's into keto, these recipes are so good. And, you know, I've fallen in love with the keto lifestyle. So, you know, I live by that. And then the coronavirus comedy tour, it's Friday. So guys, go to coronaviruscomedytour.com. Click on that. You can get some of the funniest comedians out right now. There's short videos coming from the home, but it's still comedy. And, you know, you'll be helping them, you know, make some type of income while they're here, because a lot of them can't get out and hit the stages to make people laugh live. So that, and then that's pretty much it for me right now. I mean, there's other stuff that are in the works I can't really speak on just too much. Okay. But those two, Skinny Bish Keto and Coronavirus Comedy Tour. And of course, Turnt. Keep watching, keep supporting Turnt.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I want to add a point. A lot of people don't know you're a hardworking black woman, strong, smart. Like we already said all the things you are, but we didn't say how good of a damn mother you are. You are a great mother. I see you interact with kids. And you know, holding all that down is the whole point of this whole topic of the day, being a strong woman in the industry and still being able to do the things needed to be done. So, you know, we're family, and I want to thank you so much for coming on to Behind the Scenes with me.
Of course.
Man Robinson, and sharing everything that you could. And I hope that the audience was inspired and stay inspired by the truly inspirational like yourself, Miss Tori Hart. Thank you.
Yes, stay inspired, stay motivated, stay working hard, and just follow your heart. Just, you know where you're supposed to be and where your heart is guiding and leading you and your instincts and stuff. So don't go against the flow. Go where you're supposed to go.
Whoa, she done stole my quote.
Wait, you say that too?
No, yours is better than mine. No. You got a good one. So y'all listen to that. I'm telling you, this lady is powerful. Thank you so much. We as an audience all appreciate you. Thank you very much, Tori.
All right. Love you, man.
Love you too. Stay safe and sip some more for me.
You too.
Thug life.
Okay.
All right, bye.
All righty. Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. Our aim is to genuinely encourage and inspire you with the compelling stories and content we provide, in hopes that you'll inspire others. For info on upcoming episodes and all things surrounding film, techniques, and motivation, follow at Man Robinson on all social platforms. View on blackfilm.com, manrobinson.org, or stream anytime on Spotify and iTunes. Welcome back to Behind the Scenes with Man Robinson. We don't just talk about it, we be about it.